Collins too.
I don't know. I'm
call a meeting to order if you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sorry if you remain standing. We have this is our first meeting since the tragedy of the death of Highway Patrol Officer Earl Scott, and the board would like to have us have a moment of silence, please, for him. Thank you. Okay, we have Linda. Presentation next under item 3, United Way.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Simon and the rest of the Board of Supervisors. I'm Linda Avedon, the President and CEO of the United Way, Stanislaus and the Motherlode. And we're here to do a presentation regarding the 211 Stanislaus Helpline. With me today, who will give the presentation, is Liz Gimbel, who is the Project Coordinator for 211. And I also like to, before we get into it, make recognition to the many people in the audience who have been working hard and diligently over the last 18 months. Jim Mooney, Margie Pelomino.
Gary's here. Gary Simple.
Gary Hinshaw. Yeah. And John Sims, I know, is here, who have all been here supporting this project. Liz?
Linda, also one thing we're looking at today. First of all, I'm Liz Gimbel with the United Way of Stanislaus, and one of the reasons I'm here today is to ask for a letter of support for the 211 project so that we can apply with the California Public Utilities Commission. And go ahead. What is 211? 211 is a free, accessible three-digit telephone number that will enable the people of Stanislaus County access to appropriate health and human services. Now, basically, in one of these outlets that you have, they have, imagine 1,000 times a year, people will call various numbers and get the wrong number that they're trying to call. They don't know whom to call when they're trying to get information and help that they need. So with 211, it'll streamline the process so that people will call 211 Stanislaus Helpline, and then we will give them the appropriate number that's appropriate for their area as well as their needs. Now, the primary goals for 211 Stanislaus Helpline at all times, every day of the year, the people of Stanislaus County will have access to timely and appropriate health and human services, information, and referral to help them make informed decisions about issues which affect the quality of life. Now, the secondary goals of the Stanislaus 211 Helpline is to disseminate vital information relative to disasters or hazards in Stanislaus County. For instance, people could call 211 if they need information about where to evacuate. Now, the mission is to provide the people of Stanislaus County with timely and appropriate health and human services, information, and referral. I might also call it INR. The public benefits from 211 by having one number access for quality referrals. It's free and confidential, and 211 has expanded coverage in the county, reduced misdirected calls and duplications, and 211 will be multilingual, accessible 24 hours a day, and improve human services and update information. Now, program agencies benefit by having a single comprehensive resource to rely on, and the specialized INR providers can focus on their specialty rather than taken away for other referrals. The University of Texas in 2004 deemed that 211 is cost-effective. A national cost-benefit analysis estimates the net value to society of a national 211 system approaching $130 million in the first year alone, and a conservative estimate of $1.1 billion over 10 years. Now, 211 is not new. It's available in 32 states currently with over 46% of the population and 171 active 211 centers. The Calling for 211 Act is a bipartisan act currently in the House and Senate, and the approval of the act will grant $150 million in matching grants nationally in support of 211 services. What this means to us is possibly about maybe $30,000, $35,000 to Stanislaus County if it comes through. Now, the California Public Utilities Commission, the CPUC, says that we must have a live specialist answer the calls 24/7, 365, and service must be free to all callers available and regardless of demographics and language barriers. And the CPUC is the one that will be approving the 211 service application, and they will not allow a tariff to support the 211 service. Now, the status of 211 in California, first of all, we have six active 211s in Southern California. Ventura was the first. Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, San Diego, and Santa Barbara followed. San Francisco is set to launch, it says February, but they're going to be March 29th at this point. And most of the Bay Area, Sacramento, have plans for 2006, no set dates. We are looking at the Stanislaus helpline to go in July of 2007. Now, our existing information and referral is generalized and offered by United Way through our number 572 call, and that's during business hours. We've operated since 1994. And 211 will make it easier to market to gain the clients that, and use the service. Now, our call projections would be between 13,005 and 25,000 calls over the course of the first 5 years of 211. With 80% of the calls expected between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., and that does represent about 4.5% of the population. Now, for that reason, we're going to operate 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with specialists working out of the local United Way here in Modesto, and from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, as well as holidays and weekends, we will send the calls to another call center via a remote access database. Now, our plan is to conduct the presentations that we've needed to do to support the project. Again, the CPUC requires a strong community support. And we're also looking at applying for the application in the month of March, hopefully, and have the application approved by the end of summer so that we can go ahead and start getting ready and set up for 211 technology so we can launch July 2007. Marketing taglines. The first thing we'd like to know is that 211 Stanislaus Helpline, your first call for community resources anytime, any day. And it also translates into a Spanish translation as well. Marketing plan. We would like to target market this lower socioeconomic population as well as the people who operate and work with above population and as well as the general public. Now, the annual budget projections, the cost of 211 service is about $375,000 to $420,000. Our current funding sources are at between $45,000 and $100,000, with a net funding need of $275,000 and $375,000. We have not yet really advocated funding, but we do anticipate quite a bit of funding sources in this, in healthcare and technology grants and business and community donations, the calling for 211 Act, as mentioned. The Children's and Families Commission, which I'd also like to thank them for providing a grant to pay my salary to get this planned. The local United Way, foundations, and other government grants, and mental health services as well. Our planning committee for the 211 Stanislaus Helpline has been wonderful to work with and many people involved. We've had the United Way of Stanislaus, people from Disability Resource, Children's and Families Commission. Stanislaus County has offered many people in different departments, Office of Emergency Services, Office of Education, Department of Employment Training, there's more, Havens Women's Center, Modesto B, Modesto Junior College, as well as the local American Red Cross. And some of them are here today to support the project. So with the projected positive outcomes, 211 Stanislaus Helpline will improve the overall quality of living in Stanislaus County. So at this time, I'd like to see if there's any questions or comments that I can address.
I would make only one comment. I know that you had indicated you were going to be requesting a letter of support. We would re-agendize that for March 7th for board consideration since we haven't placed an action item on today's agenda.
Okay. I'm sorry.
There's a chart here that I'm not sure I really understand. It says, is that for this, our United Way, or...
What is the chart that you're referring to?
It's the chart that says pregnant household member, children, and home. What does that mean? Then it goes down, it says age, pregnant, 0 to 1, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year.
Oh, okay.
Is that the number of children she
there's,
has?
There's two reports. Actually, one side is a report that shows all of the reports that calls that came into Stanislaus County. And the other side is basically just children that were involved in the homes of the callers. If a caller called and there were any children in the home and they were giving us the information, we recorded the age of the child so that
so
we can also
these
determine.
These are adults in the home who are pregnant, not pregnant children.
Well, I guess that...
Because that's what it reads.
I'm sorry that it was confusing
zero.
For
it
you.
I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, because there were 0 to 1 pregnancies.
Okay.
No.
That would be a national disaster.
We're looking at that as the age. There's pregnant people in the household. It doesn't necessarily represent an adult, though, but
right.
anyone in the household who would be pregnant and also children under the age, obviously, of 18, and we broke it down to individual ages so that we can see how we're helping the children that are in those households.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any questions
yeah,
by the board?
I have one. It said on the weekends, your calls would be transferred out of county?
Yes, that is correct.
How is another county going to know what we do in this county?
Well, first of all, we have 211 centers operating other counties currently. Ventura is taking on many other counties and doing quite well with their database. We would provide them our database that's available through the internet. And they would be able to take the calls based on, you know, the zip code information and what have you. If we can find a resource here in Stanislaus County to keep the 211 Stanislaus helpline within the county, we will do so. And if it's cost effective, we will do that. But in the meantime, we're looking at 20% of the calls are likely to occur outside of the business hours. And unfortunately, the cost to keep the call center within the county right now is not cost effective. That amount of calls.
How much money are you asking for this grant for this to do this in Stanislaus County?
Today I'm not asking.
There's a cost to it. How much is it?
Yeah. The total cost will be about $420,000 to operate this on an annual basis per year.
Okay.
And it would be more considerable more if we do run 24/7 in Stanislaus County, just for safety. You always would need a minimum of 2 staff on 24 hours, and if you start adding that cost plus the number of calls, at this point, it would not be cost-effective. As we see calls increase, then it would become more cost-effective.
Okay, this would be asking for grant money from the federal government.
No. What we'll be looking at is that there'll be some federal money, there'll be some local money. We currently receive community development block grant monies from the county to run the current United Way information referral. We'll be looking at that resources. We'll be looking at some medical grants, some foundation grants, and, of course, the local United Way will be putting some funds in as we currently do.
Well, what are you asking from the county?
Today, we're asking for your support so that we can apply to the California Public Utilities Commission to become a 211 for Stanislaus County.
How much money are you asking from the county to operate?
At this point, nothing.
Well,
we won't
some,
be back
some,
to you.
At some point, you're going to have to
we'll
come back.
We'll come back and ask, but not at this point. We're in the process of looking at other sources, and as I said, and when we know, we'll come back with a specific ask. But we're trying to make it as from cost effective from other resources as possible.
Any other questions from board members? There's no action to be taken, right?
No.
Well, thank you for your presentation.
I appreciate the opportunity
we'll
to be here
for
today.
We'll wait for you to return with whatever information you're going to be collecting. So
great.
We still got to get approval before we can
right.
talk dollars.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is the. Public comment period, and I have one request from Robert Stanford.
Morning.
Morning.
Am I supposed to give my address?
Pardon me?
Am I supposed to say, give my address?
Yes, if you would, please. And you have 5 minutes to make a presentation.
P.O. Box 576684, Modesto, California, 95357. And then I was here last time, I'm sure you remember. And I'm really sorry that, you know, coincidentally the tragedy that occurred that we all have the moment of silence for happened so shortly after my graphic presentation. I, you know, of course, certainly didn't intend for anything like that to happen. But it, unfortunately, the death of Officer Scott, as well as the other CHP officer that was just struck by the drunk driver Saturday, it compels me to come down here again. That Friday, Chief Wasden and I at the Hispanic Leadership Council together announced to the group that hadn't quite heard the news yet about Officer Scott. In further talking to him later, I promised him, I told him about, you know, that I came down here and made a presentation, and I promised him that I would dub a copy of that off of the public television, you know. And so I tried to catch it every single day since that last Tuesday that the broadcast times on the internet said it was going to air. The first two times that they were scheduled, I think it was Sunday, Wednesday, and then Sunday morning, it showed the one from the 7th, not the 14th. And then the next one, which I think was Wednesday, the following Wednesday at 7 p.m., they didn't show anything at all. They just showed, like, hours of the library and that sort of thing. I think I sent you an email and CC'd Officer Putoff and Chief Wasden, and the info email that I could find for the public broadcasting channel. And then I tried to catch it again on Sunday, and that was kind of understandable because the Cordoza thing was on. I can get that. That's, you know, probably pushes out our supervisor meeting. But I was wondering if any of you, like, if this was, you had any knowledge that this was not replaying during the week at any of the scheduled times? Can I ask that?
Yeah, I have no knowledge of it.
I'd have to get in touch with the cable place, the public information thing.
Yes.
We do this, and I was at the school board meeting last night, and when we were at the Hispanic Leadership Council every Friday morning at 7 a.m., a lot of, you know, Latino and other community leaders, Cindy Marks is on that board, Chief Wasden, Officer Putta frequents. Our goal is to try to encourage each other to motivate youth any way we can for positive goals for their lives. But in all these places, we make an oath to this flag and pledge allegiance that we're one nation under God, and our allegiance to America, whatever the state of America might be at the time. And today we did something additional in that we did a moment of silence for Officer Scott. And if I could just have one more question. When could I expect that I believe that this would be a case for you guys here, that we would see something, that we could see some serious funding coming to our Stanislaus Sheriff's Department? Or do I need to make a better case for you and work with them to show you in what areas that we're really looking at tragedy? I mean, I know I gave you a warning that came too close to home last time, but I should be up here criticizing police. I'm a civil rights activist. But instead, it's all backwards now, and I'm advocating for police because I can't even do my job. They're just, I can see that they're just taxed to the limit. Now, other cities and counties, you know, I mean, it seems to me they take care of their police departments, like Oakland and San Francisco. If there's some, you know, forbearance of, you know, some foreboding that things are getting out of control and that they're understaffed, that they immediately address these issues. Is there any way you could give me a month and a year or some time when I could see on your agenda that you're going to address some of the serious issues that face the Stanislaus County Sheriff Department?
We address the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office every budget session.
And when's that?
This year it's, when's our budget hearings?
We'll have budget hearings we actually have a mid-year today. We'll have hearings in June. We'll have additional hearings in August.
And that's open to the public.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You bet. Anyone else in the audience, excuse me, who hasn't filled a card out that wishes to speak on an item not on the agenda?
Good morning. My name is David Gere, 1212 Blue Chappelle Court. I hadn't expected to speak, but I attended the funeral yesterday of a fellow brother-in-arms, Chad Gonzalez, in Turlock. It was a very emotional funeral where 500 people attended the service and 200 cars entered a motorcade. for the 3 mile drive to the cemetery. This might sound trite, being with what's happened in the last few weeks here in this county, but I'm concerned that the county still hasn't learned how to place American flags in public. While I fully support and I honor you for including the POW MIA flag, in fact I have a sticker on my car that depicts the POW MIA issue, but the American flag should always be placed at the left of any other flag. And right now I'm somewhat surprised to see it not that way here, and it almost dishonors the soldiers who have fallen. Thank you.
Well, we'll see that whoever does the flag placement places it correctly. Thank you for pointing that out. Anyone else wishing to speak to the board at this time? Okay, we'll turn to the consent calendar then. Anyone desire any member to be removed from the consent calendar? And if not, then we need a motion.
I do have one quick clarification, if I may, on item B3. We distributed to you a revised version of the bylaws. The changes are non-substantive, and I believe you can go ahead and act on this as a consent matter. Just wanted to inform you that that, in fact, was the case.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
You know, Dave, come to think of it, when that flag was brought in, the MIA flag, it was on the right side when we initially had it there, and I don't know how it got mixed around, unless it's housekeeping that's sweeping and moved it. Thanks for recognizing it. See, next item is item 12, consideration and approval of mid-year financial report.
As CEO staff gets prepared to make their presentation, I do want to commend and compliment Monica Nino Reed Petty Hill Thomas and Eileen Melson, along with budget staff, for the fine work they have done on preparing the mid-year budget. As you have undoubtedly noticed, it is very comprehensive and complete, and provides some excellent information. But also draw your attention to the first of the regular updates, contracting updates that will be provided to you as part of the budgeting process. And that's consistent with the policy the board approved several months ago relative to contracts between 50 and 100,000 and contracts that either are or will go over 100,000 during a specified period of time. Additionally, we do have one department head who's indicated an interest in speaking at the conclusion of the CEO staff presentation, and that is Gordon Ford.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Patty Hill Thomas from the Chief Executive Office. With me at the table this morning, Monica Nino Reed and Eileen Melson, and behind us, our budget team and our HR team, as well as our department heads. It's our pleasure to bring you a strong, positive fiscal report for the mid-year of the 2005-2006 budget year. This is a very comprehensive report. We've probably given you lots and lots of extra information this year to ensure that we're providing you and the public a full disclosure of the financial condition and analysis of the county budget. I'd like to take a moment and echo Mr. Robinson's comments and thank the CEO staff and the department heads, their budget managers, and the whole organization for staying focused on living within a balanced budget. That's our goal, that's our practice, and indeed that's our experience. Our budget report before you today, like the final budget you adopted last September, is based on your board priorities. We are very focused on the collaboration with both public and private partnerships to strive for a safe community, a strong local economy, strong agricultural economy and heritage, a healthy community, effective partnerships, well-planned infrastructure, and efficient delivery of public services. We're going to do our very best to take a lot of information that's about $851 million in total value and summarize it for you this morning. Before you is a graph that we show each time we make our regular budget reports to you, showing what makes up the entire county budget of $851 million. And the functional areas, the largest being our health and human services, followed by our fiscal and general services, next our criminal justice programs and services, and finally our public resource programs. Of that $851 million, on the expense side, you can see how this budget is balanced from a revenue or resource side. The blue slice, discretionary revenue, $145.9 million. That's the area where your board has the most discretion in terms of program delivery or the local dollars. Our departmental revenue, most of which comes from both the state and federal government, is $675 million. And finally, our fund balance is $30.7 million that's used for both ongoing but primarily one-time expenses in this $851 million budget. This is a part of our regular and extensive reporting to the Board of Supervisors on the county's fiscal position. Of course, our focus is on strong fiscal accountability, and this review is done in a very open way, comprehensively through the organization and presented to you in public to determine what the fiscal position is and if any mid-course adjustments are necessary to ensure that we end the year, every year, as this county does, in a positive fiscal position. Our staff and the county departments independently project the year-end position of each program in all county budgets, based on year-to-date actuals, trending analysis, and other individual issues that we learn of on a regular basis. In the mid-year report, we make recommendations for high-priority items and other necessary technical adjustments to complete this year's budget within balance. This is a very positive fiscal report this morning. We're happy to say that because we've also been here when we've had very serious fiscal matters, particularly loss of revenue to the state of California. So it's good for us to be able to say that. Overall, the departments within the county are expected to remain within their approved budgets. Our discretionary revenue is very strong and will exceed our original estimates, and we'll show you a little more detail about that in a moment. And we're projecting, along with the departments, a fund balance or savings at year end, conservatively in the range of $6.4 million to $11 million. And the recommendations that we're going to summarize for you today go through a whole range of technical adjustments to some policy decisions, particularly as it comes to facilities in the jail area. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Monica, who's going to go through some of the detail with you.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Monica Nino Reed from the Chief Executive Office. The table before you shows discretionary revenue. It's a five-year comparison. The final budget for discretionary revenue was budgeted at over $145 million as part of the final budget. Staff is recommending a number of increases within various revenue line items within discretionary revenue, and we'll go over those in the following charts. Current collections of revenue are in alignment with previous years. The next slide shares with you four major areas of growth in discretionary revenue. Those are our property tax in lieu of vehicle license fees, secured property taxes, sales and use taxes, and Proposition 172 sales tax. The total of all of these revenue sources within discretionary revenue account for 85% area, because this was previously, we are now receiving property tax for our previous vehicle license fees we used to receive 2 years ago. And the reason why we only show 2 years of information is because 2 years ago, the state switched our vehicle license fee revenue for property tax revenue. So you'll see that there's only 2 years of history, including our final budget. And this is where our biggest increase is in discretionary revenue in the current year. We receive an allotment from the state controller's office every year, and their allotment comes in a little bit after the final budget is approved, and we're projecting it will end the year at over $46 million. The next chart is secured property taxes. Secured property taxes reflects in that first 6 months, if you look at that $16.4 million, that's where our previous 2 years of our ERAF 3 shift occurred. Last year, we received a $4.5 million shift of property taxes that went to the state of California. This is our second year, and this should be our final year of the $4.5 million. That $4.5 million shift of our normal received property taxes are already reflected in that $16.4 million. We do are anticipating receiving the growth up to that $28.3 million for year-end, and that growth was based on over a 14% increase in our assessed valuation. The next chart is our sales and use chart. That it's reflective of our five-year comparison. These funds represent the remaining 75% of the 1% that we receive in our local sales tax, which is our Bradley Byrne sales tax. This account, in the current year, the other 25% we now receive in property taxes, and it's called a sales tax in lieu of property taxes. So this is only reflected of 75%. You'll notice why that column in 0506 is down from our 0304, because this 70, it went down to 75% in the 0405 fiscal year. So we've experienced only 75% of the sales tax use for the last 2 years. The next chart is our Proposition 172 public safety sales tax. I have very good news on this. Our rate did go up slightly. It went up just slightly less than 1% of the pooled rate. And what we are is we're part of that bigger pool of Prop 172 sales tax that gets distributed by the state of California. And we're projecting an increase from our original budget of a little over $700,000. And you'll see, as part of our general fund recommendations, we're recommending for that entire $700,000 to fund various increased costs in our sheriff's department. The next pie, we're going to now give you an analysis by all of our individual funds. As Patty mentioned earlier, here is our general fund along with all of our other funds. That accounts for over $232 million in the county's overall budget of $851 million. Or 27% of the county's total budget. The next chart shows our general fund revenue. It is tracking online with our previous five fiscal years. General fund expenditures, that's tracking consistent with our previous fiscal years. Spending is up as a result of our overall budget increasing as part of our final budget adoption. The increases did primarily take place in our public safety area. We did include a sizable amount of general fund dollars to contribute towards our health services agency strategic plan, along with other funding of critical needs. Our next couple of slides will illustrate the various recommendations we're making as part of the mid-year. The first one is for weights and measures equipment for our ag commissioner, for the auditor controller. He's bringing in additional revenue to offset costs to fund a vacant position, along with equipment through the use of departmental along with equipment, and it will be utilizing departmental revenue. And that his departmental revenue primarily comes from charges for services that are charged to other county departments. Board of Supervisors and Clerk of the Board, we're recommending an increase in just staffing costs, not new staffing, and also to provide additional funding for record retention. In the CEO Economic Development budget, we're recommending funding for a contribution to the City of Modesto to fund the Weed and Seed individual who will be assisting in that program, along with the use of Kaiser funding for a contribution towards the State Route 219 project coordinator. Clerk Recorder Elections. This will be the only transfer we will be recommending as part of the final budget to come from appropriations for contingencies. This board identified this dollar amount as part of the final budget. It's for $798,800 for the June 2006 primary election. We are recommending funding for the district attorney for our child abduction unit, for various lease for their lease cost and utilities, and also cash outs in our district attorney criminal budget unit. Facility maintenance, we are experiencing an increase in utilities and maintenance for county facilities. We don't have, we only have, I believe, one other recommendation that results in an increase in a budget to offset the cost of utilities. A number of departments right now are absorbing some increased utility costs within their existing budget. We will be reviewing our county across the board within our department's utility cost as part of third quarter. Parks, we are recommending staffing for a park supervisor along with some one-time maintenance and equipment costs. The public defender, we're recommending some staffing to some funding for existing staffing along with $200,000 for our indigent defense costs. Sheriff operations and detention, as part of the final budget, we recognize the fact that the sheriff's budget unit was short, had a shortfall in their dispatch and fleet services. We wanted to look at actual costs through mid-year before we made a recommendation, and that was in agreement with the Sheriff's Department. So we, at this time, we are recommending to fund their dispatch and fleet costs, as we noted as part of the final budget, along with overtime and cash outs. In conjunction with the Sheriff's Department, we would like to update our existing needs assessment for jail facilities. We do have a proposal, and there is a dollar amount in here for double bunking at the Public Safety Center, and these are the costs that we are recommending to be funded from our Prop 172 increased revenue. As the board stated in adoption of the final budget, staff continue to take into consideration the continuous building of reserves and designations for exposures and to continue to build fiscal strength in the county's financial records. We are recommending an increase to two designations. If you look at that table, you'll see that our final budget started with overall designations that related from debt service, which essentially was 12 months of our gross debt service that the county has in the general fund, along with a contingency reserve of over $8 million. There's some tobacco settlement money that we received as an initial distribution prior to our securitization that you'll see $2.6 million is committed, and we only have a balance of $1.6 million. There's some tobacco securitization interest that's sitting in our designations and reserves that was there prior to that's our 20% that was outside of the 80% that goes towards the Health Services Agency deficit. That $1.3 million was to be was set aside to be utilized for energy enhancements on our community services facility, and that was designated there by one of the county departments. Our Health Services Agency, over $7 million this board approved as part of the Health Services Agency's strategic plan. And then litigation dealing with some outstanding retirement costs of $3.9 million. We are recommending some adjustments to reserves and designations of over $10 million. The first one, the over $2 million, relates to the new debt service. This count, the general fund will be incurring as a result of the new debt service that will occur on Gallo and our 12th Street parking garage and facility that was planned and was recognized as part of last year's budget. We're recommending a contingency of over $2 million to go into our general contingency. As part of mid-year, Parks recognized two water issues that they have going on currently with their Frank Rains Park along with Woodward Reservoir. We are recommending to set aside $1 million. This board did approve a consultant to review those issues, and that report will be coming back to the board prior to the end of this fiscal year. And we are looking to possibly utilize that money. That is just an estimate at this time as part of the 06-07 budget, or when that study comes back to the board to set aside those funds to offset those potential costs. Future additional litigation relating to retirement. Our total exposure dealing with this these outstanding costs with retirement, and you might have heard this previously referred to as the Ventura lawsuit. Our total exposure is potentially $8 million. That $4.1 million will bring us up to that $8 million level. We have been notified by our retirement division that they have not done the final calculation. That is an estimate at that time, but we wanted to make sure that the county had set aside some one-time money to offset these costs. There is some anticipation that we will have to pay that out sometime in September of 2006. And then county facilities, maintenance and improvements. There are various parks. There's some major fencing repair along with existing county facilities. And we're recommending to set aside $1 million for that. So that would bring our balance with recommended adjustments to over $45 million. We are only looking at truly the true commitments at being $21 million, which were clearly approved actions that this board has taken for particular projects, and leaving available designations and reserves of over $23 million. The next pie will show you the special revenue fund. That accounts for over 53% of the county's total budget, over $452 million. That's a number of our health services agency. Our public health department is located in that department. Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, DET. There's a number of our subvented departments, and when I refer to subvented, that means a number of our county match departments that the general fund contributes monies to so that they could leverage additional state and federal dollars. Revenues are tracking right on. The increases are primarily increases due to CSA, Community Services Agency realignment funds, along with prior year rollovers, along with an increase in our public works road and bridge. We brought in over $5 million in public facility fee revenue for costs related to the intersection and traffic signals at Gear and Albers, along with increase in our health services agency for California Children and our WIC programs. Special revenue funds for expenditures, they are tracking consistent with our previous four fiscal years. We are seeing an increase in cost. They're in line with 0405, but overall, if you look at the budget is significantly higher. It went from $413 million to $454 million. That's as a result we increased our CSA's budget as part of the final budget for the C4 project, which is that department's automation project, and that deals with the contract maintenance related to that project, along with just overall growth in the special revenue funds. Recommendations at mid-year for the special revenue funds. Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, we're recommending an increase in funding for Ceres Regional Services, along with our East Modesto Regional Services and our homeless programs. There is great concern with our existing base mental health programs. Our Department of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services recognize that concern. They are meeting with their mental health board, their mental health commission, to come up with a plan. Those reductions will come at a later date, either prior to the proposed budget or as part of our 2006-2007 proposed budget. The Chief Executive Office, DOJ, Alcohol and Drug, we are recommending an increase in funding here because we are experiencing a shortfall in the receipt in the revenues we used to receive to offset blood and alcohol testing. CSA, our Community Services Agency Public Assistance Program, we are recommending increased staffing for our CalWORKS program. We did experience as part of mid-year a decrease in our state allocation for our employment and training department, along with reductions in our realignment revenues for indigent health care and our health services agency. The library, we are recommending an increase for utilities and security costs, along with structure improvements at our Turlock Library. And that will be funded as a result of strong sales tax growth and grants. Public health, we are recommending a decrease in our health services agency public health budget units as a result of reduced federal funding and our emergency preparedness. We're recommending increased funding for as a result of Prop 42 funds used for road maintenance materials and additional engineering services. Our next budget is our capital projects budget. This accounts for over $4.8 million of our total county budget, and it equates to 1%. And I want to make sure I'm clear that $4.8 million does not include our existing major capital projects. Those are our routine budgets that we do for redevelopment agencies, our courthouse construction funds, along with our criminal justice construction funds. This board approves on a project basis when we bring, like, the Gallo Performing Arts Center or the 12th Street project. Those budgets are established at that time when the project is started. So I want to make sure that that $4.8 million budget, that I'm clear that that does not include those outstanding capital projects funds that are currently going on. Currently, capital projects funds, you'll see that there's an extreme increase in 05-06. That relates directly to the bonds that were sold for the Key Storm Drain project. Our planning redevelopment agency issued bonds to fund that project, and that revenue has been received as of mid-year, and so you'll see that there's a huge increase on the revenue side. You will not see the corresponding increase on the expenditure side because that's the action we have before you today, and you'll see that on the next slide. We are recommending for the redevelopment agency an increase in budget of $14 million to fund the Key Storm Drain Improvement Project. The next pie is our enterprise funds. That accounts for over $91 million of our total county budget, or 11%. The departments that fall into our enterprise funds is our health services agency, our various landfills, transit, our public works transit area. The next bar chart is our enterprise revenue. We are showing a slight increase in our mid-year, but a slight reduction in our overall budget. And primarily the reduction on the projected side, you'll see that we're going down from 87.5 of actual last year to 82.4. That relates to a $2.8 million decrease in charges for services for our health services agency clinics and ancillary budget that was adopted as part of our strategic plan, along with a decrease in funds that were previously transferred in the previous fiscal year for the post-closure fund for our Gear Road landfill. Expenditures, those are tracking low also. We are seeing an increase, though, in total budget. You'll see it's going from 88 up to our projected year end of $95 million, and that's as a result of a $2.1 million increase in repairs on the final cover for the Gear Road landfill. We do have a few recommendations in our enterprise funds. The first one relates to a reduction in our Stanislaus Behavioral Health and Recovery Center, our Stanislaus Behavioral Health Center. There is a cap on our admissions due to a shortage of available psychiatrists. We are recommending a reduction in our health services agency, clinic and ancillary services due to salary savings along with our whole clinic restructuring. Our final budget unit is our internal service funds. That accounts for over $70 million of our total county budget, or 8%. That's primarily where our self-insurance funds are located, along with various departments who provide divisions that provide services to other county departments, like fleet services, central services, are part of our internal service funds. Our internal service funds have an increase as a result of workers' compensation, self-insurance fund. We are experiencing an increase of collections in that budget at mid-year of over $600,000. We did increase the rates by over $1.2 million overall. We have over a $3 million increase in purchased insurance for health insurance premiums that went into effect starting calendar year 2005. And so we have 6 months of that increased health insurance, and that accounted for $3 million of that increased revenue receipts. Expenditures, those are also tracking in line with previous fiscal years. As I mentioned on the revenue side for purchased insurance, we're experiencing the same thing on the expenditure side, of course, because our health insurance are costing us more. We are seeing an increase in insurance premiums for our general liability, along with a $680,000 increase in our Morgan shop as a result of an overall budget increase at the beginning of the fiscal year. Recommendations for our internal service fund. We are recommending, we had anticipated at the beginning of this fiscal year another potentially 20% increase for our January 2006 insurance premiums. Thank goodness we were very pleased to see that that did not occur after all. So we are bringing that budget back into an alignment with where our health insurance is actually going to occur. Even though we did experience a significant increase in January of 2005, it was not of equal proportion to our 2006 increase. And so we are recommending to reduce this budget along with only accounting for the county-only portion of the premiums. We are recommending a decrease in our Public Works Morgan Shop budget unit due to a delay in providing fueling services to county departments, and also we are recommending a purchase of equipment. The following chart will illustrate the number of positions that are being added. We are recommending, as part of this mid-year proposal, the addition of 20 positions and the deletion of 19 for a net of one. Those positions are being added, and 14 are being added in the special revenue fund. Four of them are recommended in behavioral health and recovery services. 10 for our community services agency, as I mentioned earlier. A number of them will be going to that CalWORKS program. For the general fund, we are recommending 2 positions for our county council's office, along with 3 positions for our sheriff's department, and 1 for our enterprise fund for our Stanislaus Behavioral Health Center. And then we are recommending those 19 for deletion. At this point, we have our contract overview. I am pleased to present to you today our first update of quarterly updates of our contract overview. This is as a result of the new ordinance, the new policy that this board approved recently. It implements, as part of that policy, it implemented new contract reporting for the Board of Supervisors. It identifies over $100,000 contracts and agreements requiring Board of Supervisors approval. So you'll see as part of our agenda item, we have 2 tables, one that includes the $100,000 contracts, and then the second one are contracts that will exceed $50,000 but are under the $100,000 for informational purposes. These contract tables, and it's consistent with the policy that was approved, we took them back to July 1st of 2003. This was our first time. There's definitely room for improvement, but we will continue to monitor this. We've already talked about other ways that we can cross-check these contracts that are appearing with our accounting system so that we could verify that we are getting all the contracts that fall into these categories. This was a great effort that was put before us by our department heads along with our budget team, and hopefully this meets your needs, but we will continuously see this as a project that's in continuous improvement, and we will continue to do that. And I will turn it over to Patty at this time, and she will do the looking ahead along with the final conclusions of the mid-year report.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, budgeting is a year-round responsibility now, not an occasional event. We'll take a short break, maybe for 20 minutes, and then prepare to issue our final budget instructions for this coming fiscal year, the 06-07 fiscal year, in mid-March. The departments will have a month to prepare their budget requests. We'll make that proposed budget available for the public's view at the beginning of June and ask you to consider budget and public hearings for the proposed budget on June 13th through 15th. The additional days only if necessary, and suggesting that the final budget and public hearings for the 2006-2007 final budget be conducted in September 12th through 14th of this year. There are some issues to look ahead to. We continue to track the health insurance costs to our organization. Good news on the workers' comp side. Major improvement on the safety side, and our continuing efforts for the labor relations. We've completed a number of new agreements. We have negotiations underway, and this morning you approved the agreement with our Deputy Sheriff's Association. Our labor relations work continues as well. The organization will stay focused on strong fiscal accountability. We have before you this morning 5 recommendations. We're asking you to accept and approve this report as the Chief Executive Officer's mid-year report by a 4/5 vote of your Board of Supervisors. We're asking you to authorize the staff to make all the necessary budget and technical adjustments to ensure that we have an appropriate fund balance at the end of the year. We're asking you to specifically authorize in your 4/5 vote consideration a transfer of $798,800 from the appropriation for contingency fund as recommended in the mid-year for the elections office. We're asking you to amend the salary and position allocation resolution for the position and staffing changes recommended, and asking to approve the first contract and agreements listed on attachment B to your agenda item in the cumulative amounts of $100,000. As Monica and Rick mentioned, that will become part of our regular reporting. We will be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes. I had a question about the appropriation from contingencies for the primary elections. Why is that just not part of the budget? We know that we're going to have a primary election, and why don't you just include that in the budget rather than taking it out of contingencies? Because it amounts to almost $800,000.
As part of the final budget preparation, we met with the department head, and in years past, she has been able to fund a portion of it, and we both agreed that we would just put it in contingencies until we knew until we could anticipate what the actual costs are. It looks like the costs will materialize to that high, to the $798,000. So that's definitely something that we could waive for future years, but historically we've done it from a contingency transfer, just anticipating that, say, if the department was able to save some money, then we would not transfer the entire amount out. We would only transfer how much she estimates the actual cost would end up being.
You did actually set aside the $800,000 for later use when you adopted the final budget, but a component of the contingency appropriation that you approved with the final budget did include an earmark of that amount of money to apply to the elections process as necessary, and then and also based on the operating budget at mid-year of the department head.
Okay, I was curious about that. My only question so far.
Any other board member have a question? I have a couple of questions to ask. Number one, I'm assuming that when you get to the issue of double bunking, does that have a concurrent increase in personnel if we do that? Maury?
Maury Sanders, Assistant Sheriff. We are now looking at that. We don't anticipate any. The idea is to put the double bunks in the five pods at the Public Safety Center, 20 bunks each. If it becomes an issue of having too many inmates in the pod out, we can secure half and keep it with our the maintenance of our current staffing. That's our current plan with just this part of the project.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. The other thing is I would like to see added to the contract portion. I'm aware of an incident in which a public entity divided a contract into two parts. So that they would both fit under the $50,000 limit. In other words, first contract was for $49,999, and then that same year the second contract was for $49,999 for the same purpose. It seems to me that you could close a loop there, which I'm not saying any county personnel would be involved. It wasn't the county. But I do know it existed, and I think we ought to have a provision in which if there are two contracts for the same purpose, the same year, that falls under board review.
Yes.
And that's all I have.
That's a good suggestion, and that is one that we can easily incorporate. We have had discussions about that various issue on several occasions, trying to find the best way to address that type of misrepresentation of facts, other than the obvious, which is if we have that kind of problem, we really need to look to the quality of our department head.
That's right.
And so I'm not anticipating that.
I knew that he had written me a note, and I ignored it.
That's right. Chairman Simon, supervisors, my name is Gordon B. Ford. I'm your treasurer and tax collector. In my mid-year submittal, I recommended $29,000 $10,000 to cover the increase in postage and $19,000 to pay for the approval of an unfunded clerk position in taxes. If this is approved, I can immediately hire a permanent employee. In the mid-year financial report, it is noted that there was a 14.7% increase in assessed valuation in the county, and the county's reliance on property tax has increased. The tremendous growth within the county is contributing to the revenue and the good financial health of the county. These same factors are also increasing pressure on the departments that are processing property taxes. Now it is time to add resources, not reduce our ability to operate our property tax system. I'm concerned that on page 64, it is noted that the assessor is facing a potential 16% reduction in the 06-07 budget. My department is still trying to reach the staffing levels in the tax area from 4 years ago when it was necessary to take budget cuts. As noted in the 05-06 budget, given the significant increase in growth in Stanislaus County, it is becoming increasingly difficult for the tax collector to continue to provide adequate service levels to the taxpayers and governing agencies that he serves. Delays will continue in assisting customers at the counter and on the telephone due to staff shortages. Last year, I identified the major problem in the department as the hand processing of a huge volume of tax payments. In the 05-06 budget, I recommended the purchase of a remittance processing machine to solve the problem, and I was pleased that this board approved that request. I'm convinced that when the machine is operational, we'll be able to solve some of our problems. However, as you know, it takes time. We have completed a review of our needs, issued a request for proposal, determined the best proposal, and are in the process of developing a contract to bring back to you for approval. However, until the machine can become operational, the volume of tax payments is taxing our resources. We are still processing December payments. And if continued, I am concerned that we'll be able to process the April 10th tax payments before we have to close our end of the year in June. At the same time, Supervisor O'Brien has correctly expressed concern of the long lines several weeks before taxes are due. In order to respond to these concerns, I have taken some bold steps. I have arranged for my Treasury staff to purchase a laptop computer and come down and help taxpayers. I have trained additional staff to be able to handle the window, and I've established a procedure to take staff from revenue recovery to handle the window during the critical times. While these steps will provide better service at the window, they will also divert resources from processing tax payments. In my original mid-year submittal, I requested funding for all authorized positions. Current funding levels are not sufficient. As stated on page 29, the Chief Executive Office staff has looked at the first half of the year and does not see a projected shortfall. They have recommended that funds be set aside in appropriation for contingency in the event it is needed. It's hard for me to understand how we can all recognize the huge increase in growth within the county. A supervisor can express concern about my service. And I have a backlog which requires me to go into March processing December payments. And still, there is concern that the funding levels of 4 years ago may not be necessary. I recognize there are many priorities for the board to consider, but I think it's important that we keep an adequate resources in the property tax system. It is ultimately up to the board whether to approve my original request of $29,000 full funding of all authorized positions so that I can immediately hire another clerk or go with the recommendation of placing funds in contingency. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Gordon.
I would like to respond to Mr. Ford's comments if I could. First of all, under the CEO's recommendation, Mr. Ford will be authorized, if approved by the board, if the recommendations are approved by the board, will be authorized to go out and fill that unfilled position effective immediately. Secondly, the question isn't relative to whether Mr. Ford has a need for the additional staff resources or not. That issue was addressed in mid-year, and I believe very adequately. The question is whether or not Mr. Ford has adequate resources to complete the fiscal year based on his first 6 months' performance. In our preliminary evaluation and subsequent evaluation of his budget, there's reasonable doubt that Mr. Ford will need the $29,000. However, in the exercise of prudence and in a conservative approach to addressing the mid-year budget request, CEO staff have recommended for your approval the set aside of $29,000, which will be made available at the end of the third quarter should Mr. Ford's budget demonstrate a need for those funds. Frankly, I'm a little bit surprised that there would be any characterization of this budget as not being fully funded as it is, as it's been presented to you. The question is the timing of those resources and the need for those resources to be determined in a subsequent discussion before the Board of Supervisors.
So that should give you some level of comfort knowing that they've set aside $29,000 just in case you run out of money.
Okay, so and I might misunderstand. I apologize. If I can hire based on the set aside, that would be sufficient.
Yeah, that has. It's my opinion that has been expressed to you. If there's been a misunderstanding, then hopefully it's clarified now.
Thank you.
But thanks. We have five rec staff recommendations on the budget, so we need a motion.
I'll second Supervisor Mayfield's motion.
We have a motion to second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Next item is Department of Public Works. Approval to adopt the results of the ballot procedures.
What about the public hearing?
Good morning, Chairman Simon, Board of Supervisors. My name is Miguel Alvarez with Stanislaus County Public Works Department. Today's item is for approval to adopt the results of the ballot procedure and form the Paradise South Landscape and Lighting District. We held a public hearing February 14th, and due to the number of ballots, we deferred the results to today's meeting. Will the clerk announce the results?
The votes cast in support of formation are 77. The votes cast in protest of the formation are 21. The incomplete ballots received were number 7 for a total ballot receipt of 105.
Due to the ballot results, the staff requests the board to adopt the results of the ballot procedure for the formation of Paradise South Landscape and Lighting District in compliance with Proposition 218. And the remaining recommendations. Are there any questions from the board?
Any questions from board members? Okay, what action do we take next?
There's nine recommendations before this board.
Okay, we need a motion then for the 9 recommendations.
Also move.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered. Thank you. We'll turn to the 9:25 a.m. public hearing to conduct a hearing to amendment of the county non-disposal facility fees.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. Sonia Herigfeld, Director of Environmental Resources. The item before you this morning is a recommendation to conduct a public hearing to consider an amendment to Stanislaus County's non-disposal facility element. The non-disposal facility element is one of 5 components that make up the countywide integrated management plan. In 2003, the California Integrated Waste Management Board changed the regulations and added construction and demolition categories to those facilities that are required to obtain a permit from the Integrated Waste Management Board. The Integrated Waste Management Board is requiring Sundry Products to obtain a medium volume construction demolition inert debris processing facility permit.
A mouthful.
Yeah, it is. They're also requiring the Central Valley Agricultural Grinding to obtain a medium volume C&D wood debris chipping and grinding facility permit. In order for these facilities to obtain permits from the Integrated Waste Management Board, Stanislaus County must amend its non-disposal facility element of the countywide Integrated Waste Management Plan. This requires these amendments to be reviewed first by the Stanislaus County Local Task Force on Solid Waste and then reviewed during a public hearing conducted by this board. On October 20, 2005, the Stanislaus County Local Task Force on Solid Waste reviewed the request from both Jim Davis, president of Sundry Products, and Paul Cogson, one of the principals of Central Valley Agricultural Grinding. The local task force had no comments and voted unanimously to support the addition of these facilities to the county's non-disposal facility element. Neither one of these facilities are proposing to make any change to their current operations. Both Jim Davis of Sundry Products and Paul Cogson of Central Valley Agricultural Grinding are present to respond to any questions. Staff recommends the board approve the three recommendations listed in the staff report. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
I had the one, Mr. Chairman. It looks like these regulations changed in 3 years ago, but we're just amending it now. Or we does just get forgotten?
No, it did not.
Like it's a long time to make these changes.
Well, it's the Integrated Waste Management Board that requests the facilities to apply for a permit. So until the Integrated Waste Management determines that these facilities need to apply for a California Integrated Waste Management permit, until they make that request, it's not necessary for us to change our non-facilities disposal element. It's not necessary for us to add them to the list of facilities. So they have to request that the facilities get a permit first, and that process, we have to then add them to our waste management plan.
Okay, and they're not requesting any change in their operations at all?
No.
It's just a new requirement for the Integrated Waste Management Board.
It's a requirement for the facilities. The Integrated Waste Management Board is requiring that the facilities obtain a permit from the Integrated Waste Management Board. In order for them to be able to get a permit, they have to be included in an element of our waste management plan. So basically what we're requesting in this amendment is to add these two facilities to our non-disposal to the non-disposal element of our waste management plan.
Okay, and the Integrated Waste Management Board, do they inspect these facilities?
Yes, they do.
And the county does also?
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? If not, we have three recommendations.
You need a motion?
Public hearing. Okay. Public hearing's open. Is there anyone in the audience who's here to speak on this item? This gentleman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Board of Supervisors. My name is Jake Osterman. I'm probably going to read this because I get nervous in public speaking. I failed the public speaking course in high school. Anyway, I own the Wooden Shoe Dairy, which is located at 5237 Langworth Road. My property is directly adjacent to Central Valley Ag Grinding. My residence and dairy facility are approximately 1/4 mile south of the grinding operation. Our facilities are separated by pasture. I am downwind from the grinding operation. Central Valley has been our neighbor for 6 years. We have a congenial relationship. They seem to make every effort to comply with conditions of their operating permit. They have even shut down their grinding operations during windy days if I call to complain about excessive wind-blown dust. There are several areas that could receive further studies, such as noise and air pollution, traffic hazards, and increased commercialization of the site. I realize that they provide a service to the community in recycling the waste stream. I would like to comment on an item that affects my dairy most, wind-blown off-site dust. This issue is addressed in the conditions of approval in the use permit UP99-11, dated October 7, 1999, item number 10 and 11 on page 10. I'd be glad to read them to you. if you so wish. Item number 10, the project shall not create odors, dust, windblown litter, or noise levels which would constitute a public nuisance. And item number 11 has to do with the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. The project applicant shall manage the project in such a way as to avoid excessive dust emissions that could potentially affect downwind sensitive receptors. And that would be me. Central Valley uses equipment for dust suppression on their roadways and their piles, but their grinding and loading systems do not have dust protocol. These operations can put large volumes of dust particles into the air. The dust problems are most severe during the summer months. My pastures are covered with dust. This makes the grass unpalatable for my cows. My wife can wash her car on Monday, and on Tuesday it's covered with sawdust. At times you can actually see and feel the large dust particles blowing across our yard. Compliance should not be complaint-driven. I've just heard that Stanislaus County and the air quality do make regular monitoring, and I suggest that continue. And I'd also suggest a biannual review of the neighborhood to see if there's compliance. Thank you. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
And these facilities don't grind inside of an enclosed building?
They do have an enclosed building that some grinding is conducted in. They're most dusty materials, for instance, almond shells. But the majority of the grinding is done open air.
Question for staff. Obviously, there's a condition of approval that sounds like it's not being met. How do we go about correcting that?
Well, that would be, it sounds to me like that was a condition of their use permit, and which would be a code enforcement violation. And okay. We typically handle those on a complaint basis, which I have. I did take a note of that, and we will follow up on that.
Okay. Good. I mean, only right to Mr. Osterman's dairy is not receiving sawdust.
How much difficulty would it be to perhaps conduct this the same as the burning issue, that if the wind reaches a specific volume, which people can measure on their own property very easily, that you shut your operations down?
How easy would that be?
You're staring at me.
Well, because I'm not familiar enough wind level would we need to curtail the operation, and I don't know if
If it's 30 miles an hour like it was last night, you'd want to shut it down.
That's correct, but I don't know if it's 15 or 30.
I don't know either, but maybe there's people who do know.
Yeah, we can look into that.
I'm just suggesting that. I'm not saying it may be impossible to do, but it seems to me that if you have a possibility of violation of your own regulations, that you would take some measure to know. If the wind is blowing, you'd shut it down voluntarily. If you just always operate on a complaint basis on certain issues like this, then you're not going to get anywhere.
Okay.
And they may be very good people. They may not even recognize it.
Okay.
Just a suggestion.
Thank you.
Does the Sundai Dry Products have the same type of requirements as the Central Valley Ag Grinding?
Well, use permits have different requirements. There are some general requirements, but I'm not familiar enough to speak to Sundry's use permit requirements.
Sundry's use permit has some wind and dust issue in it, and I can't remember what it is, but I remember when it came before us, there was a great deal of, anytime the wind came up, there was a great deal of product being blown into the adjacent neighbors, and we had to address that. So,
and I've received complaints about them before from the Bernalas area. So I've wondered, so they're supposed to shut down during windy conditions too? Is that your recollection?
You might want to see if you can find those somewhere.
We can get copies of the
copies of it to
of
Supervisor
the use permit requirements for both facilities.
Okay.
Any other questions?
It's the facilities that don't grind in an enclosed building are the ones that can create these dust and spores and mold. I've got a whole package of stuff on Sundry products from complaints of neighbors. It goes back a long ways.
We have over the years had complaints about Sundry products. That's correct.
But our action today doesn't authorize the change of any processing that they're doing right now?
No.
Okay.
The request today is just to amend the list of non-disposal facilities in our integrated waste management plan.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just suggesting that our code enforcement does follow up with Wooden Shoe Dairy and make sure that the violations are taken care of.
Yes, they will.
And I think it still doesn't preclude, it allows them to continue operating under these rules, but it doesn't preclude your looking into the issues that we've asked for here and at some point amending them.
No.
Is that correct?
That's correct. It does not. No, we can still follow up on any of the use permit and make additional recommendations.
Okay,
if
thank
necessary.
You.
One last question, Mr. Chairman. That the Integrated Waste Management Board is requiring this permit, and you say that they're going to make inspections. Have they made inspections in the past of
yes.
these facilities?
Yes, they have. And these inspections have led to requesting both of these facilities to apply for new and different types of permits, which are the construction and demolition material permits.
Are there different requirements because of these permits?
Yes.
Do you know what those requirements are?
No.
Perhaps you could find out for me, because I'm interested, especially in sun-dried products, what the new requirements from the Integrated Waste Management Board are going to be for this new permit.
Okay. I will take care of it. I will follow up on that.
Okay. If there are no other questions, we have three staff recommendations. Can we have a motion?
I'll make the motion, Mr. Chairman. We accept staff recommendations.
We have a second. We have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Correspondence?
This board has received a letter from the San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors requesting support of the California Energy Commission's recommendation to evaluate the long-term implications associated with the continuing accumulation of spent fuel at California's operating nuclear power plants.
The recommendation is to refer this to the Chief Executive Officer.
This board has received a publication from the Office of National Drug Control Policy entitled Cities Without Drugs, the Major Cities Guide to Reducing Substance Abuse in Your Community.
We refer this to the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge the receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office and Risk Management Division. Any board member have a report today?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I would like to comment on this McLean bicycling event that they have on Keys Road. This organization has not followed proper procedure and is closing Keys Road a couple of miles into Stanislaus County without notifying the Public Works Department. We have received something for insurance, but the requirements are to be 30 days in advance, and they have not given 30 days in advance. They have no board of approval and no knowledge of Public Works on this until I asked about it yesterday. And this really is unacceptable today. And the only thing I would be asking for is that they not close both lanes on Keys Road and at least leave one of them open for traffic. They intend to block all traffic on Keys Road for this bicycling event. And if they really wanted to do that, they should have followed the proper procedures and notified this board and Public Works Department as required by everybody else.
Okay, thank you. How do you go about notifying them?
Well, I'm gonna give them a call today because this is not acceptable to me. I've received a complaint from a longtime friend of mine. It is in Supervisor Mayfield's district, but I got the complaint because the person has known me for many years and asked me to check this out because he'd received a letter. And when I asked the Public Works Department head, he didn't know anything about it. And I know that when people request roads blocked or to use the courthouse lawn or other such things, that that there's an agenda item for us, and the insurance is required, and notice is required, and this outfit just thumbed their nose at our regulations, and it just went ahead with this bicycling event, and so I'm going to call them about it. And it's probably too late to do much about it this year, except I would like to see one lane of Keys Road left open.
Okay, thank you. Any other board member? Legislative, fiscal, and management report.
Yes, I would like to report that Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor Grover, along with David Jones and I, did the week before last do an overnight trip to Washington, D.C., met with all of our federal representatives, staffers, and had an opportunity to present some of Stanislaus County's more significant issues and challenges. We had some success in the meeting, but it was a good precursor to the countywide almost week-long trip that we'll be taking the second week of March, and I think overall fairly successful. Looking forward to the next one.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? If not, then this meeting is adjourned. So you go again in March?
March 4th.